coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program... And took the nails
for me. This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Good evening or good morning. Again, we don't know when you're listening, but we are here. It's evening here when we are recording. This is Pastor David, and I'm with...
Pastor Barry, and yeah. Glorious Day.
Glorious Day. We're a great team, Barry. God has really done a wonderful thing bringing us together. Excuse me. And the things that he's got us doing are just awesome.
You know, between the two of us, we make one pretty good person.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well,
one almost acceptable mind.
Yeah, I think that's, and that we say that because we know if the Spirit of God were not guiding us.
Oh, this would be dreadful.
Be dreadful.
Yes.
You know, we'd be, I'm not going to go so far as to say we'd be a waste of human flesh, but, you know.
I'd be a skin donor.
We're a skin donor, yeah. Yeah, well, okay, so here we go.
And now back to the program.
Back to the program. Yeah, we should have had a dermatological commercial right about then. Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Barry is going to read scripture. Now, remember, last week we started a three-week program series based on Matthew 22, 34 through 40. And Barry's going to read that whole scripture, and then we're going to pick out the second point that we're going to develop during this program. So, Barry?
Yes. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with his question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The second is the first and greatest commandment."
Okay, that's all right, folks. We're going to keep this in. I could edit it out, but so you know that even spiritual people don't always read the scriptures the way that you want to pick that up again.
I will read the entire thing again.
All right, folks. And you know what worked out here? Somebody had not. They were going to get their Bible,
and they just
they stopped at the refrigerator to get a Coke or something, and now they're just coming back.
Okay. Take two. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The word of the Lord.
And, of course, that, as we'd said before, is a pretty fundamental commandment.
Yes.
It's a distillation of the Ten Commandments, is what Jesus said. Took those and he kind of synthesized the Ten Commandments to kind of say, this is what they say, this is how important it is, which is helpful.
And brilliant.
Oh.
Ever so brilliant.
No question. He was a brilliant man and brilliant God. God is brilliant because, you know, God knows everything.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I heard that.
Yeah. Right. Well, he does. It's true. I want to tell you. But that's kind of why we're here today, is to talk about this part. The thing that is the theme tonight is the fullness the fullness of love by being all in with God, and we're going to focus on that part of the scripture, the verse 39 of Matthew 22, where he says this, and this is the second of the two commandments. But the first commandment, obviously, has to come first, because if you love the God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, then it moves from that, because you're loving God. That's very important. That's your foundational relationship, is with God. And then it moves out from there. So when you move out from there, who's next? Well, everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? So you love your neighbor as yourself.
You can't do one without the other.
You can't, no. As a matter of fact, I love the way it says, he didn't say love yourself as you love your neighbor. He said love your neighbor first as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But now here is a problem area that we want to talk about.
Yes, and it's a challenge.
It is a challenge. Yeah. Folks, do you connect with this? Do you love yourself? Now, that's a tough question.
Well, yeah, because people interpret that differently, David.
They
might
do.
Say, well, I love myself. Look what I've done for myself. I bought myself a brand new Mustang.
Yeah.
And I have the best of the best. I have the best swimming pool. That's not loving yourself.
No, that's materialism.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Now, doesn't mean that there are times when material goods we acquire that give us joy. No question about it.
But you yourself is not your stuff.
Right.
You're not defined by your stuff, by your occupation, by your bank account.
Right. Exactly.
That's not how you're defined.
Well, if that was the case, I wouldn't be very well defined at all. I mean, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. I'm going to say that I'll make a blanket statement because I'll speak. I don't believe that many people, I won't say most, but many people do not understand this phrase,
mm-hmm.
to love yourself. First of all, if you love yourself in the way God intends,
right.
This by no means is for you to be narcissistic, okay?
That word popped up.
And some people misconstrue.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're reading the scripture and maybe they've been wounded by a narcissist and they read this and say, well, God can't be in this. You know, he's calling people to narcissism. And of course, that mm-hmm. is not true. You know, narcissists, in fact, really don't love themselves. They love an idea of who they think they are.
Right.
And that's totally not what this is. Because who are you? Well, we talked earlier last week about submitting your life to God, right?
And if you love yourself and you're submitted to God, you're going to make godly decisions for yourself.
Exactly.
You're not going to make your human decisions, and we all know how they turn out.
I didn't want to go into that. Yeah, nothing that would put my picture on a poster in the post office.
Right, right.
I haven't done anything like that yet.
No, not yet.
But we really want to get across the point that God intends to enable us, empower is another good word, to truly love ourselves. Part of the relationship we have with God when we are submitted to him
mm-hmm.
is the opportunity to receive from God revelation as to who we really are. Who he sees us to be.
His authentic creation.
Absolutely.
And we tend to take that authentic creation and recreate it.
We do.
And try and make it better. Thus, we have Botox out there and all the other things that people do, right?
Yeah, and if you go to Walmart at 1 a.m. and these 24-hour places and look and see how people are dressing themselves, you'll know that they're way off the mark.
That's not an improvement.
Whatever they're doing, it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
But when God loves us so powerfully in that submission, that relationship with him, then he shows us who we really are. And it's that person, that's the self, that we come to love because God reveals over time
mm-hmm.
Who we are, who he intended for us to be.
Right.
Which is freeing, you know. I've told Barry I had a story. Barry's heard part of this before, and actually, when we were doing prayer and share last week, or the last 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I had an occasion to speak to this.
Oh, okay.
Under the heading of, you know, God delivering me from, as God loves to deliver us from the things that are hurting us,
sure.
You know, even killing us. So he's done that for me over my life. But so I want to talk about my life. Certainly before Christ, but even with Jesus, in terms of loving myself.
Right.
Okay. But it starts out with me having an image of myself that was untrue, but I didn't know it. And it came out of my family, and most people in my family, I'll just have to boil all this down because of time.
Mm-hmm.
They really had a problem with people that were overweight.
Ah.
And, okay. Of course, we had some family members that were, or maybe they were just under tall. I don't know. But but the point is that, you know, that became an issue of my mom to a high degree and my father. And growing up in that environment, you know, I received that. But, mm-hmm. you know, it was not God's truth. It was their truth, you know, and not knowing any better. You know, I used that because it came from my parents as a means of judging myself. And then, of course, I was also at a certain point at a young age, I had a hip injury and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't play with the kids. I was on crutches and a leg brace for 3 years. And then after that, there was this command from on high, meaning my mother primarily, that I could never do sports. I couldn't, because if I messed it up again, I might never walk again.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if that was true or not, but I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was a parent, so you believe that. So here I was. Well, if you don't get any exercise, what happens? You gain weight.
Right.
So I was. I'll never forget. We go hunting for school clothes, and I always had to go to the Husky Boys section.
Oh, I remember Husky.
Don't you remember Husky?
Yeah.
Right. And so I was you know, I was living under the great weight of this oppressive judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not loving myself because I didn't know how I could do that.
Hmm.
You know, in fact, I was hating myself. Time goes on. I'm now in my 20s. And I'm really, you know, morbidly obese. Okay. And something kicks off. It was an event in my family. My father-in-law started to lose weight really big time. And, well, if he can do it, I can do it. So I got on this track. Now, where the enemy got in is I began to lose the weight,
mm-hmm.
and I began to get compliments. And people would say, "Wow, Dave, you look so good," you know. And the enemy then said, "You know, Dave, they're right. You look good. And this now you're beginning to correlate your life with all these messages from your family,"
mm-hmm.
right? No God messages in here. Just
no.
So it was a conditional love. You'll be loved if you are thin. That's what I was believing. So man, I worked this thing.
How far did it take you?
How far did it take me? Okay, I will tell you. I was 23. I remember this very clearly. It was October of 1973.
All right.
Yep. It was before, a few months before Christmas. By the age of 25,
mm-hmm.
1975, I had gone from weighing, I think my weight when I started was 230 pounds. 5'8 and a half, that's a little chunky.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was 25, I was 115 pounds.
Oh, my.
Okay. So, in a way, I'd lost, do the math, 115
pounds. You lost another day.
I lost myself.
You lost another day.
And that, listen, that's I lost myself in weight, but I was also losing myself in the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, some dear friend of ours who was a physician's assistant and also a wonderful Christian man,
mm-hmm.
just went to his funeral a few weeks ago, sat me down and lovingly told me that all of that was not of God.
Mm.
And I heard him.
You know what he was doing? He was loving his neighbor as himself.
He was loving, right, exactly. He was loving me as he loved himself because
right.
and as God loved him. And I received that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was by then, I was a believing Christian. So I took that in and I gave it to God. Of course, I also take it back. That's the thing, you know.
Sure.
But I wasn't really seeking 100% submission with God. That comes along through the ongoing prayer that I had about seeking God's guidance and his blessing
mm-hmm.
to to deliver me from that very restrictive attitude that was of the devil. Living the lie of the devil is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, my blood pressure was 90 over 60. If I stood up real quick, I'd almost passed out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, I didn't correlate that at the time. But slowly over the years, I began to let go. I gained some weight. By the time I was in seminary, I was 20 pounds heavier.
Right.
And it was in that one night in my study, Carol, listening to the radio, the news came on that one of my favorite singers had died. It was Karen Carpenter. Mm. Some of you say, who's that? You know, well, because you're young and you don't know the Carpenters. But
she had perfect pitch.
I mean, it was a secular group, but I liked their music. And I had really liked her voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she had died from anorexia, the effects of anorexia. Her heart had stopped because she had thinned herself to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that really got a hold of me.
I bet.
And so in talking about submitting your life to God, is that over time, that feature, that bit of information about what happened to her, and you know, really began to soften my heart about that, and giving God more of that in prayer. And so, long story short, because we don't have in a couple hours on the program, but to say that and let me just say this, in some things, when we submit our lives to God, it is a process that can take, in my case, on this one point, decades. But it's a growing process. God has timing, you know, it's perfect. My timing is not. And so it was in the last year that God finally broke the chains of anorexia and, of course, bulimia, which does follow that.
Right.
I won't tell you how I was bulimic, but it definitely was a part of that. It's getting rid of things
right
that you've taken in. And so the fruit of that was that those chains were finally broken. And that, but here's where I'm getting to in this, is that in this particular issue, I am now able to love myself because I have been able then to see that God loves me as I am. Now, what down the road? Will I gain more weight? Will I lose weight? I don't know. I don't care.
You look good now, David.
Thanks.
For those of you out there who don't know David, he looks great. He's healthy. He's got good color, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you feel good.
Let me tell you, I feel great physically for a 71-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
Even better than most 71-year-old men, probably. But the point is that in my spirit, I am free. That freedom has released me to have the joy and the peace in its fullness, but to also love myself in that way. And the beginning to see how God loves me. What he envisioned for me was not a man who was thinning himself to death, because that didn't look good to God.
No. And you know, David, what you're saying too, and you just mentioned it, Satan doesn't want you to love yourself.
Mm-mm.
If you love yourself and you love God and you're in good shape, that does not please Satan. He's looking for a way to drive a wedge always between you and God. Whether it's your self-image, poor self-image, whether you were raised to not love yourself because of the following, and it could be physical, emotional, intellectual, whatever it is, Satan jumps on that wagon. He rubs his hands together and says, oh yeah, here we go. I've got a weak spot. Let's work at this. And we don't see it.
No.
We don't see it because we're in it. We don't see it. But you recognized it, and God guided you back. And that's a beautiful story, David, because you know you could have lived out the rest of your life in misery, trying the best you could, but you only have so much power. And that's basically nothing. And I'm in the same boat. We don't have power to change, but God stands by waiting and waiting. Because of his love, he stands by, and we finally look up and say, and we say, help me. I want to get through this, away from this. Help me, he does. And then you look back on it, you think, well, you might think I wasted so many years.
Yeah.
Or I wasted all that money on those size 29 waist jeans. You know, give them to a young person, a teenager who's got a 29-inch waist.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you didn't waste your money. But you know, it all goes back to that. I always call him a prosecuting attorney. I'm sorry to all the prosecuting attorneys, but Satan just, he's always waiting.
Yeah.
He's always watching, and he knows. I mentioned the term authentic creation. God has created each and every one of us for a purpose and a reason, and in a special way.
Yeah.
We're like fingerprints. Every one of us is completely different in the eyes of God.
Amen.
He took the time to make us. And then we seek self-improvement. And that comes from society, too.
Of course it does.
You're hammered all day long on TV with commercials. Don't just sit there and look like that. Buy this.
Right.
You know, one of my favorite ones, and I'm not going to mention the name of it, but it's a product that takes away your wrinkles for a good solid hour. Well, that sounds kind of temporary to me, but, you know, for that solid hour, you're going to look at least 3 years younger.
Or you can save money and just only go out at night and stick to the shadows.
Yes.
You know, and no one will ever notice. But that's the lie of the devil, is that, you know, in order to love ourselves, we have to follow all of these ridiculous things that come to us from the culture.
Yes.
And first, we have to, what's really important is when God loves us as fully as he can,
mm-hmm.
and he shows us the person that he loves, us, mm-hmm. you know, when he does that, how can we not love ourselves in the way God intended and celebrate that life? And it's right. not, you know, we're not becoming, as I said, narcissists. We're not self-centered. We're not self-focused, because our focus begins with God,
mm-hmm.
not with ourselves. And when we look on God and we see in his heart us, mm-hmm. the person that he made and loves, you know, then what I want to do is be more of that person.
Right. More of him to love.
More of him to love, and more of others to love God through me.
Right.
Because that's really how it works.
Well, they're watching you thinking, okay, that's a man of God, but look at him. He's got a self-defeating disease. He's injuring himself. And people probably did think that, David.
Some, but they were not. My friend had the boldness of the Spirit, because he knew and loved Jesus, and mm-hmm. Jesus told him, tell this guy, you know, that he needs to let me work in him,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the image that he is using to pound himself is not from me. It's from the devil, and he's being
right.
lied to.
And, you know, you think about people in the Bible. Paul comes to mind. He had every reason to continue to not like himself, because he was Saul.
Yeah.
And Saul was quite the character, the bad guy, if you will.
That's right.
The nemesis of the church. And yet he became an apostle. But deep inside, did he have to fight that battle of self-judgment, self-condemnation, trying to purge the memory of when he was at war against Christ? Wow. The devil must have had a lot of time hammering at him.
Well, I'm sure the devil did that in the beginning, but if you notice, he makes reference to that in some of his sermons. But he speaks of it as understanding that he has been forgiven,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
And he really senses the awesome call that God put on him. And really, you know, the church embraced that after a time.
Well, they did, and we look at that, and you think, if Christ can change someone like him, boy, he can do a good number on me.
Yeah, and he wants to.
And he wants to. You just got to open your heart to Christ.
That's right. That, I guess, is the bottom line message, to open our hearts to Christ and just trust him. He won't hurt you, although sometimes the growth does hurt, but it's like... It's the difference between the pain of getting beaten up and the pain of surgery.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. But you know, you're not getting beaten up. It's you know, surgery for healing. Sometimes that spiritual surgery is painful in the beginning, but the pain from surgery is a healing.
That's right.
It's healing that part that needed to be healed.
Well said.
And so, you know, trust God, love God. Barry, our time isn't totally gone yet,
mm-hmm.
but I know you have a prayer.
Yes, I do.
Would you offer that, please?
Absolutely. My dear friends, let us pray. Holy Father, we were all knit together in our mother's womb with a plan for our lives. Like I, Lord, when you said, I made you, I knew you before you were born, he had a plan for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that we all just get out of his way and go and step in time with each guiding murmur, with each I love you from the Lord guiding us in the right direction. Lord, we are a perfect product of God. We pray that we don't mess it up. We pray that we don't try and decorate this gift with just fluff and stuff that gets in the way, Lord. Mm-hmm. We want to be your authentic child. We want to do right by you.
Yes,
we can only do that if we commit ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
We can only do that if, indeed, according to these scriptures, we love you with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and thus love our neighbor as ourself. Mm-hmm. We love these words, Lord. They are words to live by. And in doing so, Lord, we ask to be blessed with people that come across our path that are seeking you, people looking for the promise of God in their life, people looking not to improve themselves in this world, but prepare themselves in this world for their eternal life with you, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, I just have to say, I've had occasion to tell that story more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart is full of thanksgiving to God for that.
And I'm grateful to God it's in your rearview mirror.
Yeah, me too.
We want to keep you around, David.
But I'm also grateful to God that whenever I share that story, especially on the air, I recognize that God is igniting hope in somebody's heart, that they too can have the transformation that he was gracious to give me, and that I want them to have that, and that they will have that if they open their hearts to the Lord.
Amen. Amen, brother.
So until next time, friends, be blessed. Have an extraordinary week.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And if you don't know Jesus, now is the time to invite him into your heart. And he will come.
And love yourself.
And love yourself, or ask him to help you do that.
Amen.
Amen. See you soon.
Good night. Good morning. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.